Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
I love watching games, movies at home with my kegerator while we podcast. We always have some fresh beer and wine on tap with my personal kegerator here in the Gloom Tomb Studios. A kegerator dispenses draft beer and keeps it chill, turning your office, garage, game room, or man cave into a brewery or bar equivalent. It's affordable but high-end. It looks great. Even the woman in your life won't object. It's a dual tap, so you can have two kinds of beer, or you could have a chilled wine or even cocktails. Kegerator.com is an already great value, but I've talked them into an amazing and exclusive offer. It's exclusive just for my listeners because I love it and I know you will too. You save 20% off my favorite kegerator, plus receive 4 premium drink glasses, plus free shipping. This is an incredible deal and it's just for my listeners, but you got to use my code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. Just go to kegerator.com. That's Kegerator, K-E-G-E-R-A-T-O-R.com. Check it out. Click on the microphone at the top and enter the code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T. That's Kegerator.com and click on the microphone. Use my code. Don't wait. This is an amazing offer and it's not going to last forever and it's only for the listeners of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. Go to Kegerator and check it out now.
All right. I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, All True Romance, Everything Edition. My name is Michael Rappaport. I don't know if you guys know how sincerely happy the fact that people are enjoying the podcast, how much that means to me and to everybody who works on it, because, you know, we do it for love. My co-host for tonight is my man Toby Morse. Let's give it up to the band that was rocking beforehand. We got the little drummer boy tonight, Max Morse. Max is gonna be doing the breaks. Max, just give a little something, just give a little sample. Like, give me something like hard, but not too hard, just to start things off. Just give me a little something on the beat real quick. And you could do a drum roll like a brum bum. Let me get one of those. Brum bum. So whenever I do something funny, Max, I want you to go. There you go. Or whenever I do something not funny, it'll help it make it be funnier. So if I say a bad joke, you go. No, you go brum. There you go. Not only do we not rehearse, we don't fact check.
It's facts. That's a fact.
So, man, this is I can't believe that we sold out this theater. Thanks to the Crestwood. First of all, you know, when we get into True Romance, obviously I'm here on the film. You know, I'm just a piece of the film. I could just sort of go into, you know, I was cast in that film. She was the assistant casting director at that time. The part of Dick Ritchie was actually written in the script. I believe it was written in the script. I know it was in the casting breakdown. It was supposed to be written for a black dude. So they could have made it the fight for equality at the Oscars back then. I fucked that all up. So they were having trouble casting that part. I had originally read for one of the roles that Chris Penn, the late, great Chris Penn. Beautiful actor, beautiful person. One of those parts that him and Tom Sizemore, but I was too young. And then I was originally cast in the part that my friend Kevin Corrigan, who's playing one of the gangsters, I was originally cast in that part. And they couldn't cast the part of Dick Ritchie. So Mary Verneau said, you should get that guy Rappaport to come in to read. He's really like that in real life.
You're a goon.
At the time, I was just a young actor, you know, looking for my big break. So they were on a time crunch. They had me come in on a Saturday. And I remember going in to read for Tony Scott, the late, great Tony Scott. And the casting director. And I was so sort of gung-ho and focused. And I told him, I said, listen, whatever you do, do not let me get out of here until I get it right. And they were like, we're not going to let you leave until you get it right. And I read and read and read. And I remember when I was reading this way, at one point I looked back, and behind me on the wall were all the pictures of everybody who was already cast. So it was Christian Slater, Patricia Arquette, Samuel Jackson, Christopher Walken, Gary Oldman. And I remember looking up, and I'm 23 or 24 years old. I'm a humongous fan of acting and of actors. And I remember glancing back and being like, oh shit. But the reality with that script and True Romance was that Quentin Tarantino had just come off of Reservoir Dogs, and Natural Born Killers was on its way out, and there was so much heat and excitement on him, unlike I've seen since then. And the script was going around, and this is before, you know, you could email scripts. This is before you had to get the physical script. So, you know, actor friends of mine, like, would be like, did you read that True Romance script? Yeah, I read it. You know, like, it was sort of circulating around, and then you'd be like, oh, I heard, you know, Christopher Walken's playing that part. Oh, shit. And then I heard Val Kilmer's playing Elvis. Oh, shit. And Gary Oldman's playing that other part. Oh, shit. And it just was building and building and building. And I remember, I feel like it had something to do, it was around 4th of July, and I remember I went in on a Saturday, and it was a long weekend, and then on a Tuesday I got the call that I got the part to play Dick Ritchie, and it was a beautiful time. And again, you know, I'm the one here talking about the film, but it's by no means, you know, my movie. You know, the whole thing started with Quentin. And, you know, he gave the script to Tony Scott. And, you know, I'll be honest, that was the only movie that I've ever done that I knew was going to be a good movie. You just knew the ingredients. Because when you make a movie, it's like if you're baking a cake. All the ingredients were there. The recipe was there. And you had a fantastic chef. And it just got better and better and better while we were doing it.
I have to disagree on the good movie thing, because I think Beautiful Girls is an amazing movie.
No, I'm saying that I knew was going to be
from
good.
Jump.
Everybody knew. Because I've done a lot of movies that...
Higher Learning.
I've done a lot of movies that... Thank you. No, I'm not saying that it's the only good movie
I've
done.
I'm not trying to jock
you,
I'm just saying, yeah.
I've been in a lot of bad ones, but I got a couple of good ones.
Well, Deep Blue, Deep Blue?
Deep Blue Sea.
LL Cool J. Sorry about that.
I don't want to. Wait. We're not here for that. For those of you who's just, I'm just curious because I want to get just a lay of the land here.
Yeah.
Who listens to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast? All right, good. I want to make sure. If you don't listen to the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast, just so you know, a couple of things. We don't fact check ever. We go raw dog without a bag. G Monetti couldn't make it to this because we've been back and forth. My co-host G Monetti, aka G Moody, rhymes with duty. And you know, I don't wear a lot of bling, but we were the 2015 championship podcaster, so I had to wear the ring because we're going live. So I'll open it up. Toby,
hi.
Toby Morris fancies himself. He thinks he's actually really the Christian Slater character in real life. Had a son that looks more like me than them, so they could grow him right. He's the fake Dick Ritchie.
Awesome.
So I'll ask you the first question. You know, what is it about, and then I would love to, you know, open up to fan, you know, to anybody who's got questions about the movie. I can't wait to hear people who saw it for the first time, if it lived up to the hype and expectations, et cetera, et cetera. So I'll ask you the first question, Toby. What is it about True Romance that appeals to you 20-something years later? The movie itself.
Besides the fact that it's about my life and my wife's life, at the time when I saw that movie, I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a love.
Right.
And there was something about that movie. My wife had just moved to New York when it came out, but she saw it in Chicago before she moved to New York. I had already seen it in New York. There's just something about the movie that's so strong and so passionate and so real about true love. No matter what the circumstance, no matter what, anything that comes in front of you, that real love, no matter what, can make it through anything, and that it exists. And
don't get all emo and fucking,
I know, I'm
cry
getting
up
emo.
Here, Toby.
I'm getting.
Get
I'm starting to hear the song in my
don't
head.
Don't get nuts dun, up
dun,
here,
dun,
man.
Dun, 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 dun. It just connected with me.
And then
I met my Alabama, and now I'm married 20
right,
years to
right.
my Alabama. So
right. Okay.
So, everything about, I'm not sure.
Do you remember the first time you saw it? Where you saw it?
I saw it in New York. I saw it in New York. When I was,
like at a theater?
At a theater, yeah. When it came out, I was 23, and same age as you, probably.
Listen, don't age me up here.
Okay,
in front
this
of people, shit. It's hard enough watching that shit. I look like I was 50.
It's the perfect violent love movie.
Yes, it's a violent love.
And every aspect of it.
Yes.
From beginning to end, and I don't really think that I'm really Clarence because I don't.
No, you kind of think that you're actually Clarence.
I do want to say this. When I first met you, we got jaywalking tickets together. I knew who you were, but obviously didn't know who I was. And I was like, holy shit, I'm getting jaywalking tickets with Dick Ritchie.
Right.
It was in front of the Henry Fonda Theater. And you were yelling at the cops because you said, I'm from New York and I fuck jaywalking tickets, whatever. And I was just getting my ticket.
Has anyone ever gotten attempted to get a ticket or arrested for jaywalking tickets?
Yeah, I think people.
I think they've given up on that, but that was like maybe 10 years ago, 15
yeah.
years ago. So Huntington Beach are still on that jaywalking shit. $177 jaywalking.
And I
ticket.
Feel like if you have an out of town license, they charge you more for sure.
Did we get tickets for jaywalking that night?
You fought against it. I just got my ticket. You were yelling at them.
No, I didn't fight. I don't.
You were getting loud with them. I was like, that's Dick Ritchie getting out with the cops.
And you know, it's funny. We were trying to go see an LL Cool J charity concert.
Yes, at the Fonda.
Cut to 6 years later, I'm doing a not-so-incredible shark movie with
Blue,
the great
yes.
LL Cool J.
Yes, 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 yes.
People like that movie.
Same thing as
it's
music.
Good. If you need to go to sleep or, like, you know, you're on a... You can watch Deep Blue Sea. The people like it. It's a good... It's there on Shark Week. I get a call every year. You want to come talk about Deep Blue Sea? I had to live the fucking thing. I don't want to. No, it was fun. It's fun. Fun movie.
So perfect love movie in a nutshell. The best love movie ever made, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's up there. You know, the music is very good. Watching the film for the first time in a while. Yeah, the music, that theme.
It's from Badlands, right?
Yes, from the movie Badlands.
Yes.
Which this script, you know, Tarantino, the film is totally different, but I know he was inspired from the movie Badlands with Martin Sheen and Sissy Spacek. And the music, they sort of remixed it for True Romance. And I didn't know that was happening. You know, at the time, you know, like working with Christian Slater at that point in my career, watching him all those years before I was even thinking about being an actor, mm-hmm. was bugged out. And then working with Patricia Arquette, who hadn't done much, the film that she had done that got her True Romance was Indian Runner, Sean Penn film, dark film. Being on that set, you know, James Gandolfini, that was his first film.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
The late, great James Gandolfini.
Were you there for that scene?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that movie was so special and so well-written, and there was just so much excitement on it. Like, I would go to the set when I had no business coming to the set.
Just to watch.
Just to be there.
Yeah.
Like, just because you knew something special was happening. So I was there. I don't know why I was there, but I was there the day they filmed the scene that should be in a time capsule with Dennis Hopper and Christopher Walken.
Amazing.
And I was there the day they did the scene where James Gandolfini was beating up Patricia Arquette. And I remember he was very gentle with her, but I remember she was like getting pissed off because, you know, you got blood on you and you're this, that, and she's in a bra and, you know, you got this big James Gandolfini. And like at the time, James Gandolfini was like a goon.
Yeah.
You know, he was like a young goon. And, you know, but he was totally sweet and professional. But I remember, like, you know, she was like, get the fuck off of me, you know, like in between takes. And it just, those kinds of scenes they're challenging to make. And Tony Scott was so generous, so... Tony Scott, who directed many things after True Romance, he did Top Gun beforehand, and this was sort of his first dark... Because I remember I was like, Tony Scott, the guy who did Top Gun? He was just perfect to work with, especially for me at the time, because, you know, everybody, you know, when you're a young actor, you have all these ideas, and you think you're, you know, you're going to... You know, you're breaking the mold and, you know, you're all this kind of thing. I didn't know the technical aspects of acting for film, but I would always ask him ideas and he was always like, oh, yeah, try that. Or no. But he never told me, never made me feel stupid. Like that thing, the only bad question is the one you didn't ask. He embraced all my questions and I was able to take that going further. With Tony Scott.
Val Kilmer was really big back then to have such a role like that, being Elvis, not really showing his face.
I think it was the script. Yeah. I think people were so excited with the script. I think, you know, and I don't think that Val Kilmer knew probably that you'd only hear his voice, or you probably wouldn't have been able to get Val Kilmer. But he was huge, Val Kilmer.
He was
Top Gun. He was he had played Jim Morrison. He was on his thing. And Gary Oldman, I mean, I remember being on that set and just, you know, like, oh, I remember I was in, like, the makeup trailer with Samuel Jackson, and it was, like, young Samuel Jackson. I was like, oh, shit, the dude from Jungle Fever. You know, like, I couldn't believe it. Deep Blue Sea, right? Then later on, I worked with him in Deep Blue Sea. It all worked. Fuck, man, Deep Blue Sea, man. It all, 6 degrees of Deep Blue Sea.
It's haunting you. Let's talk about the roller coaster, because I remember talking about that a long time ago.
The roller coaster scene.
That you've never been on a roller coaster since that movie.
I haven't been on a roller coaster since that movie.
Mm-hmm.
The entire movie, the only scene that was reshot in True Romance was that fucking roller coaster scene. It was shot at Magic Mountain, and we went on it 3 times, and I was... It was horrible. I had never been on a loop-de-loop roller coaster, and you know, they have cameras in your face, and I was literally, I was showing Toby when we were watching it, because they use parts from the first shoot where you see my face and I'm just like this, and then we had to reshoot it like 3 weeks later, and they gave me some sort of pill so I wouldn't throw
Dramamine
up.
Dramamine or something.
I was all drugged out of my mind. So part of it I'm like this, and then part of it I'm smiling. But I remember being in the van on the way home with Patricia Arquette, still saying, I'm gonna die. She's like, you're not gonna die, we're done. And I was like, I feel like I'm gonna fucking die. And after all that, they called us back to reshoot that roller coaster scene. And Tony Scott was just like, Tony Scott would walk around and he, every single day, anybody who's ever worked with Tony Scott or seen, he would wear like Daisy Duke shirt. He's British, crazy British. And he was like, we're gonna give you medicine, mate, and you're gonna be fine, mate. And he sent me a picture later where I'm like, I'm literally throwing up and he's rubbing my back. And he said,
oh, shit. It looks like she actually asked you if you were doing okay at the end.
No, she was. I was in bad shape. They were laughing. They thought it was a fucking joke.
LearnVest is an online financial advice company focused on empowering people nationwide to make smart decisions with their money. If you want to know how to aggressively pay down your student loans, LearnVest can help you with that. If you want to know how much you should put aside for saving or contribute to your retirement account, they're on that too. They'll create a custom financial plan, plus they'll pair you with a financial planner to help keep you on track. To see a sample plan and get a $50 credit, go to LearnVest.com, LearnVest.com/Rappaport, RAPAPORT. That's LearnVest.com. Check it out. This is a smart, smart place to go to help save your money. Everybody needs help with their finances. Everybody can improve the way they save and spend their money. Go to LearnVest.com now.
So, you know, I want to take some questions about whatever you guys want. We can talk about the podcast. We can talk about True Romance. I love to hear from people who have seen the film. I'm really curious for people who, you know, I'm sure it's a film that you've heard a lot about. If it lived up to your expectations, if you know, if you knew much about it, what stood out to you? Because, you know, to be honest, you know, when you're, this is a movie that pretty much probably every day, at least one person brings this movie up to me. It's really stood the test of time. And I think at the core of it, it's because of the romance.
Yes.
And I think the flash and the glitz and the acting and all that stuff. But I think at the end, at the core of it, I think it's about that relationship between Alabama and the real Clarence Worley.
I think Drexel. I think that Gary Oldman's one of the best roles he's ever done, and I think Sid Vicious too.
Yeah,
he killed so good.
Yeah, he killed that.
And let's talk about those animal crackers.
Oh yeah, talk about, you brought them. Nobody knows why you brought the animal crackers.
I brought the animal crackers because in the original script of True Romance, you guys didn't go to the amusement park, you went to the zoo.
Right.
And for some reason, Christian had those at the amusement park. I guess they didn't catch it, but he's eating those, and you don't really get animal crackers at the amusement park. You get them at the zoo.
So you're going to get locked up for like being like, this is like, well, like borderline, just, like True Romance stalker shit. Like, I don't even know that he was eating that.
That's why, and that, so it wasn't really supposed to be there. So, and these are vegan by default. If
they're vegan.
Yeah, if you want to get some of those, the vegan police are here or anything. But you guys can have some of those.
So okay, so pass the mic around. We're gonna take a first. Like, let me get 30 seconds of something. Give me whatever you want, Max. Just give me something nice. All right.
How you doing? I'm a big fan of your first film, Zebrahead. And everybody talks about the relationships of True Romance and how that's like the truest love story. But I think that film also has a really incredible love story. So as far as couples go, what do you think? The True Romance couple or the Zebrahead couple?
Oh, wow.
That's a good question.
That's a great question.
The Zebrahead couple or the True Romance? That's a good question. Shit! What do you mean, like in a like a cage match, or like what are you talking about?
No. I'm just saying, like your favorite, like personally, like.
Well, I mean, you know, they're different because in True Romance, I was the third wheel.
Right.
I was the guy cock blocking, like, and they had their hands all over them. I'm sorry to use this terrible language, Max.
Nice.
I really am. But you know, both of those films, I was very young and extremely you know, like when I get to work now, I appreciate it in a completely different way then. as I did when I was young. I never took it for granted, but everything was, I was so lucky, so young. I mean, when you're, I don't know how many, what the age, I'm sure there's some people in here in their early 20s. When you're that young, despite what you think, you're so fucking stupid. And I say that with all due respect, because I was just there. So, I mean, everything's happening so fast, and you know, I was so appreciative. Don't leave. The 2 20-year-olds are leaving in the back. It's just, trust me, you got in one a few years, right, you'll appreciate it.
There's one right there up front. She's chilling.
But like, Christian Asoy could attest, when you're young and you have success.
Let's just say Christian Asoy's in the building. Make some noise, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, Christian Asoy. We got a whole lot of legends on the stage here tonight.
Yes.
So it's hard to pick one, but both of those experiences were similar because of the, I had a true innocence in what I was doing, and I was I still remain a fan, and when I showed up on the set and saw Gary Oldman in the makeup trailer, you know, I would walk out like, you know, like, holy shit, Gary Oldman's in the makeup trailer. I didn't ask for an autograph because I'm trying to be somewhat professional. That's what I was thinking, you know, and that's what I would, like, call my father, and I'd write down in my little diary, like, holy shit, Gary Oldman was in the makeup trailer. Samuel Jackson was talking to me like we were co-workers. We're not co-workers. You're fucking Samuel Jackson. What's your question, my friend?
Oh, my God. I'm not even worthy of it right now, but first of all, what I would say, I want to say some love to Mr. G. Monetti.
Mr. G. Monetti.
Word. That's a word for G. Monetti. Word.
Second, Mr. Rappaport. What was the feeling that you have working with the Mr. Great Brad Pitt?
Who?
Brad Pitt.
Oh, Brad Pitt.
Mr. Brad Pitt.
Brad Pitt. All right, well, the deal with Brad Pitt at the time was you knew that Brad Pitt was going to go on to be Brad Pitt. He had done Thelma and Louise. He had done A River Runs Through It. And he had done a few things, but he wasn't, like, over the top, but... Him and running across Leonardo DiCaprio as a young Leonardo DiCaprio, they had a certain light on them. There's just a charisma that Brad Pitt had, and there was an excitement around him, and you just sort of knew what it was going to become. And he was a pleasure. You know, he improvised that whole thing with the honey bear bong. Yeah. That was improvised. Like, his part was maybe 5 or 6, 7 lines written. He just was riffing off of it, and you know, and he was doing his thing, and he was not smoking real weed. I'm sure he really does. What do you want me to say? He wasn't smoking real weed. I mean, maybe he smoked real weed before he got there, but.
So at that moment, you were a bigger star than Brad Pitt?
No. I wasn't a bigger star than Brad.
I think so.
No. If you looked at the stats, if you fact-checked, you would see that there was no time in my life that I've actually been a bigger star than Brad Pitt.
But I would say in True Romance, you were.
Listen.
I was saying True Romance, you were.
When Brad Pitt showed his six-pack in Thelma and Louise,
we
were no longer on the same plane. But, thanks, Max. That's what I'm talking about. Pick the pace up. Pick the fucking pace up or you're not going to get a tip. There we go. Shit, man. Let's get it going here, man. So, I mean, it was everything that you expect. Like, there was just, like, you knew what it was going to become. Totally cool, showed up on the set, did his thing, you know, went about his business. Just to name drop a little bit more, at the time, he was dating Juliette Lewis. And I met her the day that we were shooting True Romance because she came to visit Brad Pitt on that set. And you know, we remain friends, and I'm still friendly with him too, and good people, solid people. You know, Brad Pitt has the type of fame that, you know, when you see him, you're like, oh shit, you're Brad Pitt. Still to this day, 20 something years later, because he looks like Brad Pitt. It's like, you know, being friends with the Statue of Liberty or some shit. Like, he just... There you go, Max. That's what I'm talking about. So that's the Brad Pitt end of the True Romance stuff. Good dude. It ain't easy being Brad Pitt. No, I mean, like, there's a... No, no, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Like, the people are going fucking nuts here right now for me. Right? All right. Imagine if Brad Pitt was here. I mean, we're talking about, like, a guy, he can't go into any coffee shop. No, no, what I'm saying about when... That kind of fame, there's a certain amount of prisoner aspect to it because everywhere you go, you're recognized and it sort of takes away from your sort of normalcy. Like Sylvester Stallone cannot go anywhere in the world, literally the entire planet, without somebody saying, I mean, it's got to be fucking Rocky. I got it. I know. So, including me.
Yeah, you punish him.
Good questions. I appreciate
it. This guy's name is Dom, and he's a hardcore kid. He came from Arizona, correct?
Yeah, from Phoenix.
You came all the way from Arizona?
Man. Yeah, just to see you guys.
Give him a little something. Give him an Arizona beat.
Thanks, Max. First of all, this is such a unique experience, especially for someone that's watching the movie for the first time.
Oh, first time!
Not for me, but for those that are here watching it for the first time. So thank you guys for doing this in the first place. My question's kind of for both of you. How did your relationship evolve from Toby just being a huge fan of the movie to running into Dick Ritchie, getting jaywalking tickets with him, to Michael doing the intro to Nothing to Prove, to doing the artwork for the new album, and now sitting here today discussing the film?
After I got a jaywalking ticket with him, I'd start seeing him at different hip-hop, whatever, clubs out here. And then one time we went to a skate ramp called Brooklyn Projects on Melrose, our friend Dom's, and he was there with his kids. And I think Max was like three. It's almost like
our kids are similar ages, and they were both, well, Max was so little. Yeah. They were into skateboarding at the same time, and then we re-hooked up. No Bruno, but it's crazy
because...
Don't you have a true romance tattoo on you?
I got three of them.
I tried to get this guy. He's got every single...
He wants me to get a portrait of Dick Ritchie.
Hold on.
I'm not doing
that. Hold on. Every film...
Dan Smith, get
Hold on.
Luke Westman, you got to...
Hold on. This guy's got every movie, every friend, every song he's ever heard, every kind of food he's ever eaten. Every sneaker, everything. I said that the real event for this live True Romance thing...
I have no spots.
...would
man.
To get, like, Dick Ritchie on your ass cheek. You wouldn't do that for me, though.
I told my wife I'm keeping my ass clean, man. Thanks, Max. Max, I'm sorry about that. But something stays sacred.
But there's people that you don't even speak to anymore that you have their names and I can't get any love. Dick Ritchie can't get no damn love.
It'd be kind of weird if I got a portrait of Mike Rapp on me, I think.
Or you could get right here, my Dick Ritchie.
What if I just get Ritchie? How about Ritchie just tattooed on my dick? That's good too. Sorry, Max. Anyway, so after that, I took him to his first punk show. He's a straight hip hop person. I took him to the Bad Brains at the House of Blues. He was like, yeah, she can clap for the Bad Brains. He was like, what the fuck? Like, people were diving off the stage and Mosh, he was bugging out. Like, you were bugging out.
Listen. I'm going to say this publicly, because Toby's always... I think the whole H2O band is in the house.
Most of the band's in the house, yes. Our brother Tom Morris, Rusty Adams.
That kind of violent reaction to the music makes me uncomfortable.
I hear you.
I feel like I'm from New York City. When people start...
Yeah, but that's
ramming
the whole CBGB's
and punk rock. Listen, motherfucker, not the part of New York City that I'm from.
I hear you.
I love it. I love the culture, and I get all that. I respect it. I've been exposed to it. But the people in there, and the banging, and the loud, and it's like a zoo house in there.
If I could read the text message that you sent me 2 weeks ago when we played the Palladium, I said, you want to come to the show? And you said, nah, man, I don't fuck with that. I don't fuck with punk rock. I just fuck with you. I don't fuck with any of that music. It was perfect.
Anyway, so that's the answer. Toby is one of the most... Literally, he talks about that PMA shit. It's 150%. This is one of the most positive, solid, honest, trustworthy people who I know.
Thank you.
But don't ask me to come to another fucking show. God, Jesus Christ.
He always tells me I'm not Dick Ritchie. My name's really Michael.
What's up? What's your question, darling?
Hello. So my question is, I'd love to know what both of you think about the film's ending. Because if my memory serves me correctly, based on Tarantino's commentary, he had kind of a different plan.
Yeah.
As a clearance. So I'd love to hear from both of you.
Well, I could tell you one scene. Well, I don't remember. I don't know what the original ending was, but I know there was one scene. The scene that I auditioned to get the movie for, we never shot. We ran out of time at that hotel. What's the name of that hotel?
The Ambassador.
The Ambassador Hotel, which is knocked down now, right?
It's not there no more.
Which is where Robert...
Me and my wife went there, actually.
Robert Kennedy was shot in that hotel. And there was a scene where I run out of the room, which you see, and I run into that gangster, and he's going to shoot me, and I beg him for my life to go, because I start telling him that I got the part on T.J. Hooker. Please let me go to do T.J. Hooker. And it's so pathetic that he lets me go. And Tony Scott came to my trailer and told me we're cutting the scene, and he was like, are you okay? I was like, I didn't say anything, but inside I was like, what the fuck, man? So some people would ask me, like, what happened to you at the end of the movie, because it's very vague. So I don't know what the original ending was. I can't remember.
Yeah, Clarence.
I'm sure Toby.
Yeah, Clarence doesn't. Clarence dies.
He dies in the original?
Where the fuck? Oh, yeah, are you in that movie? Yeah, he dies.
I don't think they shot. I think they shot two. I think they actually shot both endings.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they shot both endings.
Yeah, she knows what's up.
Cool.
Lots of commentary.
Rest in peace, Clarence.
Yes, yes.
What's going on, rap?
How you feeling, my man?
So I'm here.
I like your shirt.
Drunk as fuck.
Nah, it's all right.
Fan of the I Am Rappaport podcast.
I appreciate it. Do you know that the I Am Rappaport podcast...
This shit's worldwide.
It's a worldwide phenomenon?
It's a worldwide phenomenon. It's unstoppable.
Like, at first, it was a joke.
No, it's not a joke.
No, and now it's really... It really is a worldwide phenomenon. At first...
It's been real from
it was
day
just...
One.
At first, it was just me talking in a room by myself, creating the illusion that it was a worldwide phenomenon.
Oh, you tricked me because I thought it was worldwide.
No, at the beginning, I'll be honest with you. Yeah. Now that we're actually worldwide, I'll tell you that we weren't.
I heard it and I was like, damn, I got to jump on this train because this shit's worldwide, you know?
Well, I appreciate it. The train ain't stopping now.
No.
What's your question, my man?
Right, it doesn't have to do with the movie, but...
Yeah, open it up. We could talk about life. Love, whatever you want.
I'm a big fan of the podcast. And
Zip it, Max.
You talk a lot of shit on the podcast.
Yes.
So I was wondering, have you ever talked so much shit that it cost you a role in a movie or a TV show?
Well, that's a good one.
That's a good question. I'll be honest. The answer is no. With a big dot, 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 or yet, not yet. You know, the podcast is an exaggerated version of myself. Since we started doing the podcast, particularly in New York City, when I'm in New York, people will approach me by going, you fuck you? That's how they greet me. And at 8:30 on a Sunday, that's a little jolting. I love it and I appreciate it and I embrace it with love. But you know, it's 99%... You know, for shits and giggles. It's all fun until somebody actually shits and giggles.
You should let them know about your Aiello impersonation. Some people might not know what you're talking about, the Aiello impersonation.
Well, one of the things that's become worldwide is the Danny Aiello impression.
Do they know who Danny Aiello is?
Everybody knows who Danny Aiello is.
Yeah. Peace, Tim.
As far as I know... there's not many things that I'm the only person doing, but I think I am the only person who does a Danny Aiello impression.
You should give him one. She's right up front. She's ready, man.
She's ready for me. I'll do it. I have to find it. It has to be specific. It has to be organic. It has to be a focused thing.
Okay.
Papa don't preach.
Papa don't preach. Right. He was in the Papa don't preach video.
Lindsay Carmichael knows what's up.
Can you do us a favor and do a T.J. Hooker and Aiello?
So that I like to do. I could do if Danny Aiello played Dick Ritchie.
Yeah.
Wait, I gotta think of the lines. It's
do it for the people, right?
I'm gonna do it. It's Danny Aiello played Dick Ritchie. I don't have a fucking pot to piss in or a window to throw it out.
Yeah.
All I got is fucking Floyd. I feel like I was the right guy to play the part, but Danny Aiello, he would have been good.
one last favor, Rep. Can you please give my girl a God bless you the way you give a girl on your streets?
Huh.
You know what I mean? I heard you on the podcast.
Is she here?
She's right there.
Oh.
She's right up front, man.
Okay. I didn't do the math. I didn't know what's going on here.
God bless you, Rep.
God bless you. God bless you.
You're the best.
God bless you.
All right. Audible.com is offering our listeners a free 30-day trial membership and a free audiobook. Just go to audible.com/Rappaport and browse over 180,000 audio programs. Download a title and start listening today. It's that easy. Go to audible.com/Rappaport and get started today. Audible content includes more than 180,000 audio programs from leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazines, and newspapers. All right? Free apps for iPhone, iPad, Android, and Windows phones. Download and listen on the iOS device, Android, Kindle Fire, Windows Phone, and over 500 MP3 players. Unlike a streaming or rental service, with Audible, you own your books. With Audible's great listen guarantee, you can't go wrong. Here's how it works. If you decide you don't like the books you choose, no worries. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no question asked. All right, get a free 30-day trial and a free audiobook at www.audible.com/Rappaport. AUDIBLE.com. Trust me, this is a good place. Everybody knows about Audible. Go there now.
So, your episode, I want to let you know that I saw your episode on Louis, and dude, you stole the show.
Killed Louis.
Killed it, man.
It's all in the writing. The writing and the direction. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. And so, my question here is, in this movie, True Romance, you have an actor like Gary Oldman, right?
Yes.
Who, in every movie he plays in, he's like a chameleon. You never know he's in the movie. And then you have an actor like you, who's just so authentically yourself. And you are the best at just always being yourself on screen. And my question to you is, as an actor, like, what do you think got you to be able to do that, like, on screen? I'm an actor, so that's my question. I aspire to be a person who I can always just be myself and not, like, you know, I don't want to be a character actor, you know what I mean? I want to be myself on screen. So
no, I think that, you know, I think that for me, you know, there's always a version of yourself in the characters. It's like, you know, like if you spend enough time around, you know, Robert De Niro, he's going to make that Robert De Niro face. You know, but for me, I'll just speak for myself. You know, like my main goal and my main agenda as an actor has always, my personal goal is to always be as tangible and as honest as possible, no matter what. Good movie, bad movie, good TV, bad TV. I've done all of them, but. The most important thing is, you know, there's so many great actors who can morph into the characters, and it's about opportunities, it's about talent, it's about the way looks have a lot to do with it. Certain people have a look that just sort of, you know, can blend into different things. But for me, my agenda, you know, when I'm acting, is to be as honest as possible. And then if you could color it with a character or an accent or a piece of clothing, that stuff's all fantastic, you know. And you do what the job requires, you know. I'm a lucky dude, and I enjoy having the opportunities that I have.
I have two questions. Your first movie was in 91, and you've been doing movies ever since. Was it 91 or
91?
Yeah,
Zebrahead.
Yep.
I was 21.
You've been an actor ever since 91.
Only
acting since 91, nothing else.
I've never had another job.
That's what I mean. That's amazing.
Well,
that's
a stand-up comic.
Okay, that's a job.
But not a high-level one.
Yeah. But that's still an amazing career, though.
I'm fortunate. I tell my kids, I go, I don't know, you're looking at me like, you know, this is like I got lightning struck. I was lucky. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I was lucky, and I know that for sure.
You got kicked out of schools, and you were a wild kid.
You're trying to blow me up here.
I'm just being honest. Everybody knows. They heard the podcast. They know. You were wilding out.
Yeah. But I was preparing for my great part in the third grade.
Okay, without being too extensive, give us the audience and the people listening your top three actors of all time.
My top three actors of all time.
I can name one off the jump.
Oh, I'm gonna tell you one.
I can tell it.
But I'm going to exclude Robert De Niro.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
He's a fucking bore, right? Every time I talk, Robert De Niro,
okay.
I'm so excited because I have a documentary that's premiering at the Tribeca Film Festival about my friend Juliette Lewis.
Yes.
And if you don't know, Robert De Niro, that's his film festival.
Hard Loving Woman.
So I get to see Robert De Niro.
Amazing.
And sneak pictures of him for 2 weeks straight every year.
That's what he says every year he goes. He says,
I go.
Watch someone want to punish De Niro and get.
And I send you the pictures.
He does.
They're
he sends
horrific,
me pictures, yes.
Terrible, invasive
it's
pictures.
It's Mike and him. It's true. You got great. I mean, we're not talking about that, but it's such great show.
So
Copland. Great
Dustin
stuff.
Hoffman. I'll go with Dustin Hoffman.
All right.
I'll go with. I'll do more closer to my generation. So forget Dustin Hoffman. Forget the pillars. The Dustin Hoffmans, the Robert Duvalls, the De Niros, the Pacinos. Forget the pillars. They're pillars.
Okay.
So the top of the generation below that, I'll say Denzel Washington.
Sick.
Ridiculous. Sean Penn.
Sick. Awesome.
And John Turturro.
Wow.
Love him. John Turturro has been in so many great movies, never been nominated for an Oscar. Never been nominated for an Oscar. Barton Fink, The Jesus and Big Lebowski, Quiz Show, Miller's Crossing. Did I say Miller's Crossing?
Just now.
Do the Right Thing. I mean, he's a big inspiration. And then you know, I mean, but there's so many. You know, there's so many great actors. Benicio del Toro.
Awesome.
There's tons of them. Say, what's your question?
This has been my favorite movie since I saw it 20-some years ago. I watch it at least once a year because, like Utopia, it's a love story.
Yes.
And my favorite part in the movie is when Clarence asks Alabama if she wants to see the comic, and she can't even speak. She's already in love with him.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So I'm wondering, what is your favorite part of the movie? If you can pick a part, it's like asking your favorite Led Zeppelin song or song or...
Favorite part of the movie for me, I'd probably say, I mean, I have to say the Dennis Hopper, Christopher Walken scene is so
amazing scene.
It's iconic.
It's literally like, it's like a ballet. It's perfection. It's perfectly shot. It was perfectly written and it was perfectly acted. The tension, the humor, still to this day, watching it, with an audience, you don't know whether to laugh, not to laugh. You don't know what's going on. And I think that's exciting for the people that first saw it, because that reaction that we had in here tonight has been the same reaction every time I've seen the film. You don't know what to do. And I think that's the beauty of Quentin Tarantino. He does these turns and stuff like that. So that would probably be my favorite thing. I also think there was such a sweetness and lovability and a vulnerability. And there's a tone to Patricia Arquette's voice that I think men, it makes you melt. There's like
I
a softness.
I fall in love with her every time I see this movie. I mean, that face and her voice and her laugh.
Yeah, it's really sweet.
Her teeth, yeah. Two things. My brother whispered to me earlier, he's like, from that movie on, I always loved girls with that kind of teeth. And also, me and my wife talk about it, that like...
You should ask your wife to get her teeth fixed.
I might, but no, my wife's
into
perfect.
That style.
No, my wife's perfect, but we always talk about if you
give her a little snaggle.
If you could be with like somebody, we've married 20 years this year. But if you could be with somebody, we both say Patricia Arquette from True Romance. That's like the hottest fucking role.
In the movie, because you know that's not really her.
No, it's not real life, fucker. I'm saying in the movie, she was perfectly sexy, voluptuous, her teeth, everything about it. But she never played a role like that after that.
It's interesting.
Or Lost Highway was pretty sick.
No, but she never played... I mean, I guess this is, you know, this is her path as an actress. Like, she never repeated that role. I think that's why it's so... it's very special. She didn't play that out. She did it, and then, you know, went on to do other things, and then, you know, boom, last year she won the Oscar.
Are there doctors that could actually fuck my wife's teeth up like that, or?
Yeah, you could do anything these days.
We should talk about it. The teeth are just like, you just want to lick her
get
teeth.
Get her one snaggle like, tooth.
Sexy, man. You just want to lick her teeth, man. That's not funny. It's actually being...
No, I like that, Max.
Max,
I like
no.
that, and I love whoever's that laugh over there. I'm going to start playing to you, because I feel like you're in tune with me. And you're making me feel like this is all worthwhile.
It sounds like it, yeah. She's still there. What else?
No,
what
I just
else,
want to say
friend?
Thank you. Thank you for doing this tonight.
No, it's my pleasure.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
It was my first time watching the film. It was a really good movie. But this doesn't have anything to do with the movie. My question, I saw your documentary on Tribe.
Yes.
Woo! And I really, me and my boyfriend, we watched
it. Recipes 5.
Watched it last week, and it was really good. And I just wanted to ask you how it felt, because I know you're a huge fan and you appreciate hip-hop. How did it feel to interview so many, like, legends? There was just so many people that I was just so amazed, and I was just so fascinated with the fact that you, you know, went to that crazy, like, extreme to interview all these people, that it was just, I mean, I was just like, wow, that's crazy that they were all in this one big film.
Thank you.
So I just want to know how it felt for you.
It was a joy. First of all, the great, important, lovable passing of the great Fife Dawg. A tremendous loss. I don't think, you know, we'll ever really be able to place how important this guy was in one of the most important groups
ever
of any genre of music. It, you know, God bless anybody in any, it would be like, in hip-hop terms, and I don't wish this on anybody because I don't think he's ever going to pass, but it would be like if Keith Richards passed.
Yeah.
You know,
he's going nowhere,
that important.
Man.
The Tribe Called Quest is as important as any group of the last 50 years of any genre.
Yeah.
And it's sad thing. And it was a great, sweet, lovable person. And the Fife character that he was in A Tribe Called Quest is one of the most lovable characters in hip-hop history.
Sure.
Everybody loves Fife.
Yeah,
everybody loves Fife. So to make that movie was a privilege. It was an honor. It was challenging. I'm so glad that we were able to do it, especially knowing what we know today.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite groups. And, you know, I hope to make more. And I'm just glad that I had the opportunity to do it. And it was a group of us that were able to get it done. And I'm just so proud that we were able to get it done, especially because he passed, because that film, you know, it doesn't articulate the entire Tribe Called Quest story by any means, but at least it's a tangible thing for the fans and the future fans to listen to. And you know, all the tributes that have been on television for Tribe.
Amazing.
You know, it's been so great. And there's not many groups in hip-hop that can have traffic people say their lines during the traffic report.
On the news, yeah. It was
because the language sometimes can get crazy. Tribe Called Quest is literally for everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Well, thank you.
Another thing that people might not know is in New York, they call him White Mike. And Michael Rapaport's one of the most respected people in hip-hop and in the whole world, the whole planet, for real. I just want to say that. People love you in hip-hop.
Thanks, Toby.
White
Appreciate
Mike,
that.
White Mike, hanging out in Brownsville.
Yes, yes. What's your question?
Hi there. I'm a big fan.
She got notes.
Oh, yes, yes. What does that say? You fuck you?
You motherfucker.
You motherfucker, you. This is the kind of love notes I get. I love it.
Yeah, I'm a big listener to those.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you for following me on Twitter. I'm Mad Vertina. Hi.
Yes, yes, I see you on it. I saw you posted that on there.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it. It's a term of endearment.
Yeah, I'm a mother too, and
your mother likes it too?
No, I'm a you're a parent.
Oh, you're
I'm
a mother
too. I meant yeah. And my favorite story from your podcast is the nickname for the street stretcher. Is that what your child calls you? And I was wondering if you could explain the whole story behind it.
Wait. The street stretcher.
My son does the same thing
Rest.
To me.
Yes. Well, and we should do it here because you know that, Toby, how I like to stretch any place, any time.
Yeah, you stretch a lot.
And when I see something I look at things with the height, like if there's, then I'll look at it because I want to put my leg on top of it and stretch. Listen, I'm very flexible, okay? And when I grew up playing sports, you know, you had the guy who could shoot the best, the guy who could jump the highest. I was the guy who could stretch the best. Didn't help the team win. That's what I'm talking about, Max. What the fuck I'm talking about? So that's where I got the nickname, the street stretcher, because my kids would be mortified. Just this week, I was in the city with my son, and on 6th Avenue and 51st Street, I had to sit down, you know, like this, and he was like, what are you doing? I said, I gotta stretch, you know, my legs. And he said, well, you look like you're taking a shit. I said, I'm not taking a shit. I'm just, we've been walking, you know. It all has to do with Judaism and being Jewish and bad feet. It all goes to that and being a Pisces. Because Pisces, I don't know if there's any other Pisces in here. We have feet problems.
Do you stretch in L.A. too? Or just New York?
Any place, anytime. Any place.
You're making New York Jews sound like they have a lot of problems, man.
We do.
On airplanes, walking
watch
down the street.
Look at them. Watch them. Look at them.
You're speaking for all.
I feel like I could speak. There's no one arguing with me. Okay.
Is it true that Jewish people have different arches? That's why most Jewish old men wear New Balance.
If you look at that, I don't know why they don't just name the gray New Balance. They should just call it the fucking Larry David. Just give it a name.
Or Jew Balance.
Jew Balance.
Michael?
Yes.
Double click for that.
Where's Tim Armstrong?
Armstrong from Rancid in the house somewhere. He was here. If you like Rancid, make some noise.
All right, we'll take a couple more questions, and we're gonna shut it down. We're gonna put on some music.
I really want to know, and maybe everybody else wants to know, your relationship now with most of the cast members.
That's a great question. That's a good question.
Great question.
You know, to be honest, I mean, I'm cool with all of them. You know, I told you, you know, I'm still friendly with Mr. Pitt.
Can we call him on the phone now, live here?
Brad Pitt.
All right. All right. I'm just kidding.
Paul Ben Victor. Tons of stuff. I'm cool with all of them. You know, actors are like circus performers. It's hard to you know, stay in touch all the time because, you know, we shoot here, you shoot there. But you know, I know that movie was all love, and I feel like I'm sure anybody who was in that movie gets asked about it. You know, it stood out. So, there was nobody in there that I didn't, like I told you, a lot of those people I met for the first time, Sam, and, you know, and of course, Gandolfini, you know, all of them. I mean, it was just a special time. And, Christopher Walken, you know, I obviously, you know, I don't see him all the time, but he's somebody that, you know, is so much different in real life than you would think. People think he's like this vampire weirdo freak. He's like one of the most, he's got such a great personality. He's like a New York, straight up New York dude, so professional, totally prepared. The first guy on the set, knows all his lines. He just has an eccentricity about the way he his acting style. But in real life, I mean, that dude, you can make that guy laugh, he'll laugh like a kid. Love that guy. So nice.
He's the most impersonated, probably, actor. I think a lot of people impersonate.
Everybody does a Christopher Walken. Do you want to do yours tonight?
I don't have one. Do you have one?
I don't have a good one.
Yeah, I think he has one. You could do some.
I don't have a good one.
How about Christopher Walken as Iello? No? What's up? Let's see.
I busted my blood. I gave myself a headache doing that Iello. It was just careful, a short Iello. That's why I wish I could live my life in Iello, but I can't. It hurt. It like hurt the back of my head.
He might die.
My man Danny.
Yeah, what up, Mike? I got a question about Deep Blue Sea. No, I'm just playing. is there any actor that you haven't worked with that we love to work with?
Is there an actor that I mean? There's so many actors that I haven't worked with. I never worked with Denzel. A lot of my big three. I got the pleasure of working with, you know, idols, De Niro and Stallone and John Travolta, and those were like probably the guys who I looked up to first. I didn't even look up to them. I wanted to be the characters that they portrayed. There's so many talented people, directors, actors, and there's so much more to do.
Christian Bale,
he's great.
Leo is always a keeper.
He's on a different level. Different level.
You worked with Leo before?
Yeah, I did. I actually met, you know what? I met Leonardo DiCaprio at the premiere of True Romance.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. That's awesome.
And we were like, I had just seen Gilbert. No, not Gilbert Grape. I seen This Boy's Life.
That's a hard movie. De Niro?
Yep.
It's a hard movie.
I met him at that premiere. I remember that. And I also met Sean Penn at that premiere. And I went over to tell him how much I loved him. He was looking at me like I was fucking nuts. I don't know what I was. This is when you, whatever. Anyway, it's before Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, all that.
There's one thing you did in this movie, which is just like stuck in my brain like fucking nails. When you're driving through LA for the first time with them, you like, okay, I get to meet William Shatner, and you cross your fingers and you kiss your fingers like hope, hope. I was like, where the fuck?
You know, I think that was just, I'm pretty sure Hope Hope was written in the script. You know, I was so naive at the time. Like, and I'm saying this because I was naive. There was a lot of things that were added, the banter between me and Floyd and all that stuff. Because, you know, you have aspirations of being the next Robert De Niro and, you know, Marlon Brando. And you don't know your lines, but you do know your lines and you're riffing and all that stuff. But I think that, I'm pretty sure that Hope Hope was written into the script.
But just the cross of the fingers and the kiss, it was like, that's something. I was like,
I'll take credit for the cross of the fingers.
Good.
But the line was Quentin Tarantino.
Tom Moore's got a question. Sick.
And that's really cool what you said about Tony. I think that was like,
he was the best. He was like a great leader. If you notice, every single Tony Scott film is filled with smoke. Yeah. Like this room, but like, so he would fill it with smoke and he'd be like, more smoke, more smoke.
I'm not straight edge no more. I got a contact bus. Hey, so we're going to tell you one thing. Before we cut you off, you were saying you were naive as an actor in real life, but your character in the movie is very naive. And this is going to come off really weird because we have a true bromance, me and you.
Yes.
And you guys will agree, your innocence in the movie and the way you are, you're very cute in the movie.
Thank you.
And I think, if anybody agree that he's cute in the movie? I'm not too sure if you're cute in any movies after that or
right,
real life.
Right.
In that movie, your innocence shined as an actor and as your role.
Thank you. So I mean, I was really like elated every single day to show up on that set.
Yeah, you were stoked.
That was where I was at. I was happy to have gotten the part in the movie. And it was just coincided with playing a character like that.
Is it true that the shit stain on the back of your Elvis shirt was real?
I can't tell you everything.
Okay. I know too much.
Okay? I'm not going to say the shit stain on the back of my shirt was real, but I'm not going to say it wasn't real.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. This is what we're going to do. We're going to wrap it up. I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, I'm so glad that you guys came out. I hope you had a good time. You know, we're going to play music. We're going to, there's still food, there's still drinks, and we're hanging out. So we'll be here to take selfies. Thank you guys so much for coming. I appreciate it. All right, the I Am Rappaport podcast is sponsored by Casper Mattresses, an award-winning mattress company that makes the most ridiculously relaxing, supportive mattresses sold directly to the consumer. Sleek, new design beds that are delivered directly to your doorstep in a small box. The Casper mattress is available in 6 sizes and has a full 10-year warranty. It's made and stitched right here in the United States of America. Free 2 to 5 day shipping in the United States and Canada. Casper is so confident in the mattress that it'll give you 100 nights to sleep on the mattress. If you do not like it, Casper will pick up the mattress for free. A free full refund. It will donate or recycle the mattress to somebody who really appreciates a great night's sleep, great nap, or a lazy afternoon. Go to Casper.com and save $50 using the promo code Rappaport, R-A-P-A-P-O-R-T, C-A-S-P-E-R.com. I love this mattress. They now have pillows. It's all fantastic. It's all great. And I'm really proud that Casper is a sponsor of the I Am Rappaport podcast.